anybody can go to church on a sunny day when the sun is shining and you got the window open. And it takes real Christians to come to church on a day like today. Awesome. What an awesome bunch. Our dear Heavenly Father, you taught us to call you Father. You taught us that we should have expectations, that you are more than everything a good father should be. And then you invite us into the family of God, all so that we can become who you created us to be. I pray that I would be able to share this sermon today in a way that souls are healed. Help me, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. In the 80s, Shay was in a bad car accident. And the glass in a car, when it breaks, it breaks into all these little tiny squares. Has anybody ever seen a broken car glass? It's not like, it's just all these tiny little squares. Well, one of these little tiny squares got driven into her knee, and it was below the skin. And because she had other stuff that the doctors were so worried about, they took care of all that, but they didn't find this little piece of glass in her knee. And month after month, this little sore wouldn't heal. I mean, it probably went 6-7 months. And finally, Sherlock Holmes that I am, I said, there's got to be something in there, Shay. And because she is a woman who has courage beyond what you can imagine, I got out my trusty pocket knife, did a hillbilly surgery, and pulled that little piece of glass out of her knee. And wouldn't you know, it healed up. And now there's just a little white scar there that says, don't ever let Dave near you with a pocket knife. The wound couldn't heal because it had that little bit of glass in it. But when we got the glass out, the wound naturally healed. You know, our souls are the very same way. When I was a boy in elementary school, someone said, in front of a bunch of other people, I have a brother who's 2 years older than me, they said, you could put my brother in a gunny bag and he would make it look like a $500 suit. You could put me in a $500 suit and I would make it look like a gunny bag. Okay, I wasn't the brightest kid on the block, but I felt insulted. And it put a little chip in my soul. Most of my adult life, I would never be able to tell that story. It put a little chip in my soul. And that little piece of glass was there until I read a book about self-talk, and it taught me that we have these painful things in our head, and we have to replace them with something better. So every time I had that memory, I said to myself, yeah, but God doesn't judge me by my GQ appearance. He judges my heart. And now that little chip of glass is out of there. And if somebody in my family tells me I dress like a farmer, I just say, I guess it's true. It doesn't wound me. Okay. Everybody in this room has that story. It's not the same story, but everybody in this room has memories of being hurt as a kid. And often they are deeply embedded in our families. Your family didn't appreciate you, or your family had wrong expectations of you, or somebody in your family was checked out. All right. So what happens is we become emotionally wounded. And because our spirituality and our emotional nature are bonded together, there has to be a healing. And so we're talking about, in this sermon series, being emotionally and spiritually healthy. And today, what I want to say is, everybody in this room didn't come from a perfect family, because there are no perfect families. Now, some of you came from worse families than others, but everybody in this room was raised by human beings, imperfect human beings. Everybody in this room has a childhood disappointment. All right, some are worse than others. But the cure for them all is the same, and it is to receive from our Heavenly Father what we could never get from our earthly parents. Do you hear this? So let's drill into this. I shared with you last week, a lot of this information is coming from Peter Scazzaro's book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Scazzaro says, the researchers say there's five kinds of families, and they're called levels. A level five family is called a family in pain, and it's chaos, uncertainty, and confusion. That's what happens every day. Nobody's in charge. It's chaos all the time. We feed about 200 kids every weekend who live in families like this. No one's in charge, and if we don't give them food on Friday, they don't have anything to eat till Monday. The level four family is called a borderline family. In this family, the problem is not no one's in charge. The problem is a dictator is in charge. And the dictator is rigid, and no disagreement is permitted. Level three families are called rule-bound families, because in these kind of families, if you obey the rules, you are acceptable. If you don't obey the rules, you're not acceptable. You're only as acceptable as you are obedient. Then there's the level two family, and the level two family is called the adequate family. It is a flexible, loving, accepting, and trusting family. It's just a healthy family. They love each other, they trust each other. There's flexibility. Everybody has, they don't live by the, you can't treat all your kids the same. They're not the same. Parents, I can't treat all my kids the same. They're not the same. What's good for one kid, it might be disastrous for another one. All right. And then the level one family is the one that we all wish we were part of. It's called the optimal family. They're flexible, loving, accepting, and trusting. And on top of all of that, they really, really enjoy each other's company. They like being around each other. So, the psychologists say we were all raised in one of these kinds of families. All right. And as you might guess, the level two and the level one families are more rare than the level five, four, and three families. And as you might guess, nobody falls into any one of the categories perfectly. Well, maybe you were mostly a number two family, but from time to time you slipped into a, right? So, everyone grows up in some level of a dysfunctional family. Everyone. We're human beings. we do the best we can, but we're humans. But God has a plan not to leave us the way our family leaves us. He has a plan to fix what gets broken in life. And we're going to look at that together today. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. All right. In spite of who your mom and dad were, there is a heavenly Father. And he is a heavenly Father for every family under the earth. Do you get it? You are not excluded from being a child of God because of the kind of family you grew up in. If your family was stone-cold pagans, that doesn't keep you from being a child of God. If your family was too religious, more religious than God, that doesn't keep you from being a child of God. Might discourage you a little bit, but it doesn't keep you from being a family of God. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with ability through his Spirit in your inner being. Now listen to what your heavenly Father wants. He wants to share the riches of his dignity with all his family members. Listen to what he wants. He wants to give you a unique ability to live, and he's going to do it by sharing his Spirit with your true self, your true personhood. Now let's pick this apart a little bit. There's no perfect families, but the family of God transcends all. You get this? Anything you lost in your family is more than made up for in the family of God. It can be more than made up for in the family of God. How does the family of God feel about our Father? Okay. The better we know our Father, the better we understand him, the more we feel an impulse to worship him. He's not like other fathers. Do you get it? I don't care if you were the most perfect dad in the world, your kids didn't get up in the morning and worship you at the breakfast table. It's not normal. And if they did, you're probably a dictator and you need some counseling. Listen. But my heavenly Father is different. I don't feel like worshiping him because he threatens me. I don't feel like worshiping him so that he'll bless me. I feel like worshiping him because there's just something about him that I find absolutely overwhelming and beautiful and awe-inspiring. Do you get it? Your heavenly Father, the better you get to know him, the more you are impressed with him. Which is kind of a little bit different than all earthly families, right? The better you know me as a dad, the more you know I didn't do it all right. I made mistakes. I would fix some things if I could fix them. I have a heavenly Father who has no regrets. He would never do it differently. He did it right. He did it out of the richness of his own love. There's something beautiful and admirable about him. The better we know our heavenly Father, the more we feel inclined to worship him. Our heavenly Father is rich in glory. Glory is a hard word, so remember I talk about glory as essential dignity. Our heavenly Father has essential dignity. No other earthly dad has that. My family breaks out pictures of how I dressed in the 80s and mocks my holy name for it. Look, the styles were different in the 70s and 80s. Can I have one amen out there? Can I have one amen? All right. In the 70s, we didn't wear shorts below our knees. I'm sorry. We just didn't wear shorts below our knees. We were too cool for it. And yes, there are pictures of me wearing shorts and cowboy boots. So what? I can't claim a lot of essential dignity with my family. I can't say my kids get dignity for just hanging around with me. It's probably the opposite. I siphon more dignity off of them than, okay. My Heavenly Father is such a wonderful being that I get dignity because he's my Father. Being around my Heavenly Father makes me, he shares his dignity with me. My Heavenly Father is never ashamed to say, that's my guy. You may not see it, but that's my guy. He may not always live up to our family code, but that's my guy. My Heavenly Father is never ashamed to say he's my Father. Church. And there is great dignity that you can't get from any earthly family in knowing God as your Heavenly Father. He dignifies your human soul. Our Heavenly Father grants us ability to live that we can't get any other way. All right. Let's go back to our theme. Your ability to live well is directly affected by the family you grew up in. Things rubbed off on you. We're going to talk about this in a minute. Sometimes we respond to things in ways we never chose to respond. It's what we learned and it's what we do. Right? We never consciously chose that to be our response. We learned it in the family. We grew up with it. We just accepted it, and it just became part of us. All right. But some of it isn't good. Some of it isn't healthy. And it doesn't strengthen our ability to live well. It cripples our ability to live well. Some of you respond to things in ways you never chose to be your response. It just rubbed off on you. And if you would look at it very closely, you would admit to yourself, this is not healthy. It's not helping me live the life I want to live. Right? If you grew up in an arguing family and your family argued about everything and you just find yourself arguing, is that a choice you made? You wanted to be that kind of way? Or do you find it's just the default setting in you? Or if your family grew up, I grew up in a family, we argued about everything. Sharon grew up in a family, if something was wrong, nobody talked about it. All right, then we get married. I'm ready to argue about everything. It's just, that's what we do. I'm like that guy who does the commercial, and they say, why are you yelling? He goes, because that's what I do. So I'm ready to argue about the color of the sky. Sharon shuts down. We don't argue about stuff. Fact is, if we're upset, we ignore it. Let it go, right? Okay, we didn't choose those settings. I didn't wake up one day and say, man, I'm going to argue with everything. I never made that choice. It just happened. Sharon didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to push everything into the closet. Okay. What I'm trying to make the argument is, the way you grow up affects your ability to live. And it not only affects the way you live, it has an effect on the people around you. All right. Now, my Heavenly Father says, my kids are going to grow up in broken homes. But I don't want them to be broken forever. And so I have a plan. And my plan is to replace the broken family spirit within them with my healthy spirit. And instead of responding in ways that come normally of how they grew up, my spirit is going to teach them to respond the way I would respond as their Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and he starts changing your emotional, spiritual nature. And now you're not responding just because you were broken, and now you're responding in a way that is evidence that God is at work in you and giving you unique ability. The ability not to argue. The ability to listen. The ability to say, you don't know it all, dude. Church, God my Father works by sharing his spirit with me, and his spirit replaces some of the default settings that I grew up with that aren't healthy. Our Heavenly Father shares his spirit with us to heal the spiritual and emotional damage caused by our families. And where does it happen? Look, it happens in our inner man through his spirit in our inner personhood. The part of me that got molded when I was a kid without me being aware of it, that's the part that the Holy Spirit wants to do his best work on. My inner self, my true me. The nature of God recreating the true me. Giving me the ability to be a person I could not have been without his help. Are we walking this road together? All right. Verse 17. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. All right. Christ is our spiritual and emotional anchor, not our family of origin. You get this? What is my spiritual and emotional anchor in life? Well, because we all had childhood experiences that weren't healthy, that can't be my emotional anchor for life. I can't go back to my unhealthy self again and again and again and again. There's no stability in that. I have to have a different anchor. And so in the family of God, my stability is not in how I grew up. My stability is in the influence that Jesus Christ has with me every single day of my life. Listen, I'm pulling my roots out of the unhealthy soil I grew up in, and I'm replanting them in the healthy soil of who Christ is, how he thinks, how he feels, and the choices he makes. I am rooted in Christ. Do you get that? If you're rooted in your past, you're always going to have the broken chips, and they're always going to keep cutting you. You got to pull your roots out of that, and you have to replant them in Christ. And I say, I find my emotional well-being in Christ, not in how I was raised or not raised. Church? When I feel the feelings that come up from how I was raised, I immediately say, my roots are not in that. I have rerooted my life, and now I'm not thinking those thoughts, I'm thinking these thoughts. I'm not thinking, why would somebody humiliate a rambunctious little boy? I'm thinking, isn't it beautiful that God is at work in my heart, and he judges me by what he knows to be true in my heart, and not by, do I have holes in my knees from jumping off the porch? Okay, are you thinking with me? I'm rooting my life in Christ, and so I'm drawing the love of Christ into my life. We love him because he first loved us. Everything I need to be a loving and good person, I'm drawing from Christ. So regardless of what my background was, Christ is able to make me a loving and healthy person. The second word, grounded, is really the word for the foundation. The foundation of your life needs to pass from your family of origin to Jesus Christ. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? I taught my kids some good things. I taught my kids some bad things. They're better off building their life on what Jesus teaches them than what I taught them. Church, I modeled some good things for them. I modeled some bad things for them. They're better off building their life on the model of Jesus Christ than me. Right? And the same thing is true with everyone in this room. If you didn't have a perfect dad, okay, here's the truth. Pull your roots up out of all of that and plant your roots in your Heavenly Father. He'll never disappoint you. If you've built your life on wrong models from your parents, move. Move your house. Lift it up and put it on a different foundation. Start saying, I build my life on what Jesus did and taught. I don't build my life on my childhood. Verse 18. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the height and depth. All right. Christ's emotional and spiritual wisdom changes how I comprehend my emotional and spiritual life. I want to talk about this word comprehension. We experience love in two ways. One is the feeling of love, and the other is the thoughts of love. All right, here's an example. When I was writing this sermon, I tried to think far back in my life. So it's a genuine memory as opposed to something that just happened a couple of days ago. So I remember when Sharon and I were newly married, I have a fond memory of her sitting in my lap, and she wrapped her arms around my neck and gave me a hug. I have a very fond memory of that. Okay, that fond memory, the good feelings come with that. The feeling of love is attached to that memory. It's not just a thought. There's a feeling that goes with it. I can feel the love of that moment. Everybody in this room can do it. Okay, that is the feeling of love. All right. But love is more than a feeling, it's a way of thinking. Do you understand that? Love is more than a feeling, it's a way of thinking. And I have to do more than feel love, I have to be able to comprehend the thoughts of love. All right, I can illustrate this. I'm going to drag you through this. I'm just going to drag you through it. God bless you. I love every one of you. But here we go. All right. The comprehension of love says something like this. Even if I don't feel the feeling I wish I felt, I maintain the commitment of love. See, my commitment of love is not a feeling, it's a thought. I am committed to love my wife no matter how I feel in the moment, right? That's the thought of love. All right. The thought of love is not the warm memory of her hugging my neck. The thought of love is, because I do love, I'm going to act in this way, in this way, and this way. Are you see? So there is the feeling of love, and then there is the comprehension of love. The comprehension of love is when my love is faithful, and because I love, I do this, this, and this. That's the comprehension of love. All right. Now, this is what God wants. God wants you to have more than fuzzy feelings about him loving you. He wants you to comprehend what his love is and what it does for you. God wants you to do more than feel fuzzy and warm about love. He wants you to think the thoughts, God's love does this for me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God's love redeems me. God's love forgives me. God's love heals me. The comprehension of what love does. And the Bible says we get that comprehension through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can probably honestly say, I needed this kind of love. If I would have been loved in this way, I'd have been a different person. And all of that is true, but it doesn't change anything. What changes is something that I can say, I am loved. I'm loved by my Heavenly Father. He loves me in a way that makes a difference in my life. You see, one, I'm drawing nurture from God. The other, I'm stuck in an unfixable past. God wants us to comprehend what his love does for us, not just feel the way you feel when the worship team gets a song right. Church? All right, then he says, the breadth and length, the height and depth. What is this? All right. Pain makes my window small. The more pain you have about your childhood, the smaller your window is. Right? If I permit myself, I forget everything good about being a kid, and I only remember the crap. Right? My window gets small. My window gets small. But if I let God have some space in my life, I remember I loved playing hockey in the winter. It's a great memory of my childhood. I loved a baseball season in the spring. I loved it. I thought I was Johnny Bench. I can remember how much I loved going to ball practice. Okay. I can't let pain make my window of my life smaller and smaller. If you're not careful, pain, the piece of glass in your soul, it makes the way you look at life smaller and smaller and smaller. And pretty soon, all you can see is the pain because you've lost the breadth. You've lost the depth. You've lost your perception. Now listen what Paul is saying. In the family of God, Christ keeps making my window bigger. He keeps saying, look at this the way I do. Look at this the way I do. Look at, there's depth here that you can't see. Look, you've never looked far enough to the right. Look at all this beautiful stuff over here. Oh, by the way, don't ignore the left. There's some beautiful stuff there. Look up, how beautiful is that? Christ expands my vision, and I'm able to see the way he sees, and I am not restricted to seeing life through the narrow window of pain. Our fragmented understanding deceives us and misguides us. In Christ, we see the bigger picture. All right, let me put this together. I redefine love by how Christ loves me rather than how I was loved by my family. You redefine love not by the love you did or didn't get from your family. You redefine love by the love that Christ gives you. All right, what does that look like? The five levels of family. The love of Christ is not chaotic or uncertain. It is everlasting and faithful. The love of Christ is not dictatorial. It's shepherding. The love of Christ is not conditional, based on obedience. It's steadfast. The love of Christ is personal, self-sacrificing, and enriching. The love of Christ is optimal. Your soul was created for the love of Jesus Christ. In Christ, everything I didn't get that I really needed is not only supplied, it's supplied better than I would have gotten. Church, if you could have been raised in a perfect family and not had Christ, you'd be better off being raised in a broken family and having Christ, because everything he has to offer is rich, it's beautiful, it's whole, it's healthy. All right, how do I come to have right thinking about God, my Father, and the family of God? I read the Bible. If you didn't get one of these New Testaments last week, there's still some out there. All right, if you're online and you'd like to have one of these Bibles, you can click on the link at the chat. It's the best I can tell you. That's what they told me to say. Contact the church and we'll get you one. All right. There's a little card in here. It's the soap card. All right. This is the family card. All right. How do I stay connected to my Heavenly Father? How do I stay rooted in Christ? I read some scripture. I think about what it says. I say I'm going to use it in my life today this way, and I say a prayer. There are 260 chapters in the Bible. If you read one a day, you can read through, in the New Testament. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. You read one a day, you can read the New Testament in a year and cheat 100 times. You can miss 100 times and still make it through if you read one chapter a day. Keep your roots connected in God through Scripture and prayer. All right. And then Paul ends this by saying, it's our Heavenly Father's desire to fill us with all His fullness. It's our Heavenly Father's desire to fill you, your inner person, your true self, with all the fullness of God. All right, now let's plug that in. Some of you say, I wasn't loved. I just wasn't loved. For whatever reason, I was not loved. All right, listen, that's true, and I'm sorry. But I can tell you, the fullness of God, the unloved becomes loved. Whatever feels unloved in you, Christ can fill you with the fullness of God, and you will feel loved. Some of you say, I wasn't recognized. My parents just overlooked me in everything. What was unrecognized in you, when God fills you with His fullness, you become recognized. Your Heavenly Father says, I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. Maybe you grew up in harshness. The harshness is replaced by the fullness of God, and you feel gentleness where harshness used to dominate. Maybe you grew up with too much critique. Critique, critique, criticism, criticism. The criticism of family is replaced by the fullness of divine encouragement. Maybe you grew up in a judgmental environment, always judged. In the fullness of Christ, the judgment is replaced by forgiveness. Maybe you felt isolated. Maybe you felt alone. Maybe you felt like it was you against the world. In the fullness of Christ, the isolation is replaced by acceptance. And some of you, I'm sorry, you grew up abused. There's no other word for it. You were abused. Many of you we're abused in the kind of way that people would get arrested today for the way you were treated back then. All right. In the fullness of Christ, the abuse gives way and it's replaced by kindness. Whatever was overwhelmed in your soul by the abuse is replaced, restored, and refreshed, and now you sense the kindness of God. Do you hear this, church? I'm telling you, broken families are the norm, but God has a plan. He is a heavenly Father, and He cares passionately for His kids. And whatever you lack because of the way you were raised, Christ has something infinitely better for you. There is a divine fullness for every human emptiness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I feel the edginess of this topic. And so I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would do the work in the souls today that only you could do. Father, there are people here today who need to make a new connection to you as their Heavenly Father. They are fully aware that you have what they need. And I'm praying that your Spirit would begin the work that you promised to do in each one of us and begin to replace what is broken with what is healthy in Christ. I pray that the empty spots would be filled with the goodness of God. I pray that the disappointment and disillusion would be replaced by hope, that you have better things, and that in your family we can all thrive. Then, Father, I pray that through Jesus Christ we would be spiritually and emotionally healthy, and we would glorify your name together. Amen.